We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent on the line this morning. And Jim, happy Thursday.
Thanks, Mark. You know, I always try and think of some serious thing to talk about with you, and then I listen while you guys are doing the intro, and it usually diverts me because it brought back memories of speeches. It's a problem. The risk when you basically ask the rhetorical question during a speech is they won't give you, you know, the answer you're expecting. So you want the applause and, you know, how many of you are with me in renewing America? And nobody applauds. And that's kind of an awkward moment, right? And that's what happened. He didn't set it up well. I could tell he probably was tired, and he said the same thing probably 50 times. And he wasn't listening to himself, and the audience wasn't listening either until
right. He
didn't applaud.
So what you're saying is that every politician who's given enough speeches has a please clap moment.
Yeah, that's one moment. Another is when you forget, you know, you have your standard thing, but you forget what the next topic is.
Yes.
Another is, and this only happened to me 3 or 4 times, is if you start sweating visibly.
Oh, well, I guess it depends on how hot it is, right?
Well, yeah, it's better if it's hot because everybody's sweating and they understand. But even so, it's a problem because if you start sweating enough, it can start running down your face, and then everybody's looking at the sweat. They're not hearing a word you're saying. You know, which is why if you try and remember to bring a handkerchief if you think you're going to, because what you do is you just acknowledge it. In other words, you just mop your face. You don't acknowledge it openly, but you do it. You take care of it, because otherwise nobody's going to hear anything else you have to say.
I got chewed out by a news director one time for not pointing that out. I was covering, Bill Clinton came to town when he was in office years ago, and he was giving a speech at a small business downtown here off of Olive. I'll never forget this. It was 100 degrees outside probably, and it was probably hotter inside of this facility where he was. And Clinton had his coat off, and he was drenched in sweat. You could see the sweat on his shirt as he was speaking. And I'm live in the background when they came to me, and there's sweat pouring off of me as well. And I was intent on not talking about how hot it was in there, and I didn't. And my news director came back and said, people at home were wondering, how hot is it in there? Why isn't he talking about it? So sometimes you want to talk about it, and sometimes you don't. So,
well, the times when I sweated, there was no, I mean, it wasn't like I was under pressure or anything. I think then, like if it's Nixon Kennedy, if you remember that story, Nixon sweated during that debate. Well, that's a legitimate story because you can say he was nervous or something.
Right.
I wasn't nervous. I just, for some reason, started sweating. And it's a problem. And there's really a limit to how much you can remedy it. So you just sort of accept it's a problem. You clean it up and you go on and hope that you stop.
So Jim, do you like milk?
Yeah.
That's good.
I drink it mostly with cereal now. But
if you were on the floor of the Senate this week, it would be your only option. What an obscure rule that is. Water or milk, right?
And normally you can ignore a lot of that stuff. In other words, there's a lot of people down there voting. You know, if you want to slip in, you're really not. If they catch you with bottled water or something and you're too obvious about it, the chair will point it out sometimes. I remember one time I walked in the back of the house and I was wearing my overcoat because it was cold, and I'd walked over from the office. Well, this is going to take up the rest of the interview
time, but I'll try and be brief.
So Bill Emerson, if you remember former Congressman Emerson, who was a great, great man and my best friend in the house, he died, unfortunately, I believe in 96 of lung cancer. But Bill was presiding and the house was full of people. It was the last vote. We were all going to leave. And I'm standing in the back, and I voted. I was talking to somebody, and the sergeant at arms comes up to me kind of apologetically. He says, "Mr. Talon, I'm sorry, but you have to take off your overcoat." And I said, "Well, there's no rule against that." He says, "Well, Mr. Emerson says you have to take off your overcoat." And I looked up at Bill, and he was looking at me, smiling, and I shook my head, "No." And he looked at me, and he nodded his head, "Yes, you will take off your overcoat." So I didn't want him to have anybody present the mace to me or anything, or have me escorted out of the chamber, so I took off the overcoat. And then I went up to the dais, and I said, "There's no rule against that. You were just harassing me." And he said, "Yes, there is." And he motioned to the parliamentarian. He handed him the Book of Precedents, and he opened it up to the pages, and he pointed it out to me, and he had me. But that was, I mean, generally speaking, if you're not obtrusive about it, you know, you can munch something or sneak a drink, that sort of thing. But, of course, everybody's under a microscope now.
Sure. Sure. What did you think about the Chief Justice chewing him out day before yesterday?
He kind of liked it.
Yeah.
He said, look, you know, he's going to defer to the full Senate on any kind of a, you know, controversial or substantive ruling, which I think he should do. He's not there to interfere with the Senate's ability to operate the way it wants. But he's also not just a figurehead. He's saying, look, I'm not going to sit here and do nothing if you try and turn this into a rhetorical circus, you know. And I liked it. He's the presiding officer. He's also the Chief Justice of the United States, and he's not going to sit there.
Yeah.
And be a part of some kind of sideshow.
Well, I wanted to get your reaction, Jim, to the comments yesterday by Adam Schiff, which, in my opinion, this should almost disqualify. This should almost be the reason there should be a motion to dismiss this. Because I've argued this is what the Democrats have been about the entire time with the entire impeachment thing. Go to cut 27, please.
And that is an attempt to use the powers of the presidency to cheat in an election. For precisely this reason, the president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box. For we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won.
What kind of low-down politician is he to stand up and suggest that you can't trust the voters in this country? This is the guy 2 days ago who described Donald Trump as a monarch.
Yeah, this is what I think I've said this on the show before, and with regard to when they drummed Al Franken out. I said at the time, I said, look, you don't want these people to acculturate themselves to the idea that they get to choose their colleagues, or they get to choose the people in government that they're going to work with. And I'm real serious about that. That's why expulsion or impeachment is the absolute, I mean, it's the capital punishment. It's very, very, very rare, because it derogates the right of the people to choose who's in office. Okay, now sometimes you have to do it, but it should be very, very rare. Because the people get to pick who the president is. Adam Schiff doesn't get to pick the president.
He'd like to.
Nor did I get to pick my colleagues. And so there's some basic rules you follow. And I'll tell you a parallel principle. Sometimes there's a very close election, and the Constitution provides that each house is the final judge of who actually gets elected. So, you know, if somebody wins a House seat by 10 votes, you can get an election controversy, and it can go to the House of Representatives, and they investigate it. And there's always a danger that the majority party will pick its own representative in that election and say they won. And when we took over in 95, we had some of those. And I remember going up to the leadership and saying, look, the rule here has to be we pick who won. Okay. Well, you know, we don't pick the Republicans. We pick who we honestly think won, because we don't get to pick who we serve with.
Right.
And that's the problem here. And I've said from the beginning, I don't think this is in the ballpark. I think the Democrats have made a category offense, a category error. In other words, Trump was entitled. In fact, I think it was his duty to pursue what he saw quite possibly correctly as an instance of corruption in this Hunter Biden matter. And that's what's touched the whole thing off. I think it would have been a dereliction of duty for him not to do it. And the fact that it had political ramifications, which may have been favorable to the president, doesn't change anything. If you want to attack the policy, if you want to attack him politically, you can, but it doesn't make it an impeachable offense. You can't tell political actors in a political system that if they act politically, you're going to expel them or impeach them. I mean, it's not an impeachable offense. And so no matter how hard how much they talk or how hard they look or what they say, they're not going to turn this into an impeachable matter, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're talking to former Missouri Senator Jim Talent with us this morning. Let me play this bite from the president's attorney during the proceedings yesterday. Go to cut 34, Jay Sekulow.
Why not make a motion to dismiss if this has changed?
Because I want to let them try their case, and we want to try our case. Because we believe that, without a question, the president will be acquitted.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think that's a foregone conclusion. Do you see anything I'm missing here? I mean, is there any chance I know he's not going to be convicted of impeachment, but, I mean, do you see any chance of some surprise and a handful of Republicans switching over to vote for witnesses to appease Democrats?
I don't think you want to foreclose the possibility of anything. It is, after all, the Senate of the United States.
Yes.
And you can't, you know, you can't always predict what senators are going to do. I've been on the whip teams for both the House and the Senate. It's a vastly different process in the Senate, but, you know, I won't go into that now. But no, I think this is going to get dismissed basically in the next couple of weeks. Look, I'll give you my view of this. I think Nancy Pelosi held this off as long as she could. And I think after this stuff with Biden broke and they got all, you know, there's this hysteria over it. I think she was afraid of losing control of the House and maybe losing her job. So she reluctantly let this go forward. And I think it's been a political loser for them. And I think they're trying now to salvage what they can out of it by getting some votes that they think may be helpful in November. Okay.
Yes.
Irony is they're acting politically, of course, right? Which is the same thing you're accusing Trump of doing, right?
Yeah, it's true.
But I don't want to impeach them for this. I don't think we should expel Nancy Pelosi for this. I think it's a serious mistake. And the process will work. It will get dismissed. And I think if anybody benefits from it politically, and nobody may, I don't think this is going to decide the 2020 election, but I think if anybody's benefiting, it's the president, and I think the polls suggest that, because I think the American people are going, we can't figure out what this is really about.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I Mark Meadows, I don't know if you were you did you serve with Mark Meadows, or he came in after you, didn't he?
I think so. I don't think, well, he may have been in the House while I was in the Senate. I didn't serve in the House with him.
Meadows had the comment of the day yesterday. Go to cut 40, please.
Adam Schiff repeated himself more times than a Geico commercial. The only problem is he can't save you 15% or more on your car insurance. All he can do is give you a headache.
Wait a minute.
Come on.
You can now host this show. You're qualified.
Listen, we were giving out aspirin in giant bottles today because, you know, he just kept going on and on and on.
Well, listen, I said to my wife the other day, I said, I've never been happier not to be in the United States Senate.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And not just because of the substance of this procedure, but to be chained to your desk, to have to listen to what is basically the same point made over and over again with everybody watching you. You know, so you can't bring your phone in. You can't, you know, if you bring some material in to read, they'll focus on it. You know, you have to sit there and pretend like you're listening to everything. You know, like this is the trial of the century. It's, I don't think I could do it. I think I'd have to go to the cloakroom or something, and then they'd throw me out.
Yeah, they'd want to know where you
are. Let's expel everybody.
Jim. It's the truth. It, and I'm sure everybody there feels exactly the same way. We appreciate your time this week. Thank you.